Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 28, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now remember, for a prayer request too, you can always send me an email, put your address on it, and I'll print it out. I'll take it to the Mission Church prayer circle. We'll anoint it with oil. Lay hands on it, pray on it, and we'll mail it back to you at no charge to you, or you can send it by the U.S. postage. You can find my email address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com, or if you can remember, I got a couple of them, pastor@wichitahomeless.com. That's an easy one to remember, or elcm@messiahsbranch.org. But I find that most people remember that pastor@wichitahomeless.com pretty easy. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which, like I said, is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. Radio isn't free. You may get it free, but it isn't free for me to do. Anyway, remember, our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and also some interesting links. On another note, the list, and I'll change this next week. I'll get a different list, but I want to thank some of our listener base that's worldwide in places like Australia, Guyana, India, the United Kingdom, France, just to name a few. And, of course, here in the United States, we have cities such as Plano, Texas, and in the Dallas area, Town and Country, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, L.A., San Diego, California, and some other places in California and Oregon. And, well, this list just goes on. South Carolina, Washington, D.C., it goes on and on. We have people listen to us from all over the country. So thank you to our faithful listeners. And, of course, I want to thank the people in Wichita, Kansas, which is, according to the podcast site that comes after this program's over and we podcast it, that Wichita, Kansas is our largest group of listeners. So we want to thank all of you. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, discern the truth. So please, Father, in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, so many people think nothing happened with the Shemitah. You've heard Richard Perry get on here and say, you know, I love Richard Perry, and I'm not down on him, and he knows how I feel, but, you know, he believes that there's no such thing as a Shemitah even in the Bible, but I don't believe that's true. But there was so much happening in that cycle. The markets, well, just went crazy, and trillions of dollars have been lost out there. Well, I'm no real expert on all this, so I thought I would bring someone on who, well, really, I think is an expert, and he talks about it all the time. He does a great job of it. As of his recent, his ministry expanding from doing the blogs to going on radio and TV appearances. I mean, other radio besides ours, but he's been doing TV appearances as people have been asking him to come talk around the country. Our guest tonight is also the publisher of the Economic Collapse blog. This blog is a good place if you want to know about what's going on. He's also author of the book, The Beginning of the End. Beginning of the End is a real good book. It's written as a novel, kind of like The Harbinger is. Recently, he also made two very informative DVDs. If you haven't got them or seen them, you need to do it. The Economic Collapse, World War III and the Death of America, and The Regathering of the Ten Lost Tribes of Israel. You should, if you don't know about that subject, that's a good video to get to find out. Anyway, a headline from one of his blogs states, the 2016 market meltdown, we have never seen a year start quite like this. So here to talk about it, and let's see what all we can get out of him, is Michael Snyder. Are you there with me, Michael?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's really good to be back on with you, my brother.
Well, amen. You know, and I'm really excited. You know, I click on different things of different ministries, and I see you're getting out there. You want to tell us a little bit about that? You've been kind of getting popular. I don't know if we want to popular, but your message, I guess, is getting popular.
Yeah, well, I've been very blessed. God has been opening up some incredible doors for me. You know, I was just thinking as you're introducing the show, you know, if you go back 10 years ago, you know, I was working right down in the heart of Washington, D.C. on K Street. Nobody knew who I was or cared who I was. But even back then, sometimes I'd put on my little headphones and I would pull up your radio show way back then. You had a listener right there in Washington, D.C., right, you know, right in the heart of everything. But, you know, God has been faithful, and he started to open up some incredible doors. In fact, just this month, over the last couple of weeks, I was featured on the Jim Baker Show as the only guest for six episodes in a row, and I got to talk about the economic collapse that we're seeing and the judgment of God on America, and I was able to talk about the rapture quite a bit too, and about how there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture and all of that, and I'm actually writing a whole new book about that, which is coming out soon. But God is opening up these doors, but I'm thankful for that, but it's not because of me, but it's because of him and what he's doing, and he's taking ordinary people just like me and just like Pastor Dan, and he's starting to raise up an army of ordinary people who, you know, in the past we put all these ministers and all these people on television, we put them up on pedestals and we sent them all our money and we bought all their books and they built these mega churches and they flew around the country on their private planes. But now we're moving into a time when it's just going to be ordinary people who are just seeking God, trusting him, and listening to what he's saying and proclaiming the message that's for this time. And he's going to just raise up everyday people who have strength, who have courage, who have great love, and we're going to do great things as an army. And the one that's going to go up on a pedestal is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. You know, you point out just everyday people. When Yeshua went out and picked out the disciples, what kind of people did he pick?
Oh, it's absolutely true. It was just ordinary fishermen, people that were not considered to be, you know, something special by society. And that's what we are, you know, but God has, he's taken the broken pieces of our lives, he's turned them into a beautiful thing. And he can open doors if we just seek him. You know, even last time I was just on the Jim Baker Show, it was the fourth time I've been on now, but he turned to me and he looked at me and he says, I still have no idea how we found you, but really it was God that's opened up these doors. And he's opening up the doors for people who are proclaiming the warning message of what's coming to this country, the great economic collapse and all the judgments that are coming. I hope we can get to on this program. But then also the message of hope that God has a plan. He's raising up a remnant, and in his time he's going to gather that remnant back to the land of Israel. There's a place where, even in the midst of all the chaos and darkness, there's going to be a place for people to go. God has a plan. He's got a place of protection. And I believe we're headed for the greatest move of God the world has ever seen, the greatest harvest of souls we've ever seen between right now and the return of our Lord and Savior. And so there's no other time that my wife and I would rather be alive than right here, right now, though we have so many challenging things we're heading into.
Yeah, amen. Let's say this. You know, there are so many. Now, I know there's some faithful people out there because, I've got a listener base. We've got some faithful people out there, more than just my listeners, of course. But that, you know, they hear so much about this and prophecy, and they don't know what to do. To them, that I want to say is, you know, if they can't really understand it, the biggest thing they need to just understand is they need to have that personal get on the floor relationship with Yeshua, and then they'll have all things that they need and be guided into all this, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. The key thing is to spend that time every day with God. I mean, my wife and I, we start every day together reading the Word of God, a time of prayer and praise and worship and seeking Him. That's how we start every day. Now, you know, not every married couple has work schedules which allow for that to begin the day that way. But if you have a wife, pray with them. Start, you know, either at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, whenever you can. And then we all need to get away in our prayer closets and seeking God and studying the Word. I've got a hill near my home. I like to go up and down, you know, when the weather allows, just walking and praying and being by myself with the Lord. But that's what we all need to be doing, seeking God on our own with all of our hearts. In the Word and in prayer, those are the things, you know, and that might cut into your television time, your entertainment time, whatever it is, but getting into the Word, seeking God in prayer, that's always what it's been about, and that's what we need to do, especially during this time.
Yeah, amen. You know, you mentioned entertainment time. That's one of the biggest enemies against the people of God right now, I believe, is because they've got so much consuming their time. You know, whether it's a TV series or, oh, there's some new movies out and all this. Now, I'm not saying all those things are absolutely wrong, but what I'm saying is they're taking up too much time and they're not getting that personal time with the Father and His Son. And that's what you need. That's what will prosper you. That will make you better. And that's what will protect you in a time of trouble. Amen. Which I do believe, looking at the way these markets and things have been, it's just crazy. Back to you.
Oh yeah, I agree, Pastor Dan. You know, let's go back and talk about what happened during the Shemitah. You know, everyone was expecting, you know, some people were expecting the world to end in September, but that was never going to happen. But we've seen this pattern of financial crashes and stock market crashes at the end, especially at the end of every Shemitah cycle that goes back, if you study it, you know, all the way to the Great Depression. But so we came to the end of this Shemitah cycle, and right at the end, within 30 days of the end of the Shemitah year, we came to, you know, at the end of August, and then all of a sudden, there was a great shaking in financial markets all over the world, a tremendous, tremendous shaking, you know, especially in China where the market was down like 40%, Germany, close to 30%. I mean, it was just crazy. And overall, you know, at the most difficult moments, we saw $11 trillion of global stock market wealth wiped out in there at the end of August, early September. Globally, $11 trillion of global stock market wealth was wiped out. Everyone agrees it was the greatest stock market shaking that we had seen, since exactly 7 years earlier, the end of the last Shemitah cycle. So, that, you know, everyone agrees on that. There's no debate about that. But now, once September was over, we did see some of the markets kept going down, like Brazil and Canada and others. Some of the markets rebounded a little bit, particularly here in the United States. So a lot of people said, well, the world didn't end. The markets are rebounding, a bit here. You know, so, wow, you know, maybe there really wasn't anything to worry about after all. You know, maybe everything was going to be okay. And so people, you know, some people started to mock the Shemitah. Some people started to criticize Jonathan Kahn you know, who you know, wrote that great book about it and everything. And yet now what have we seen? You know, we've seen just here, you know, once we got to the end of December, then January 1st, and then the first few weeks in January, it's like someone hit the accelerator once again. Markets all over the world started crashing again. And now at this point, since last June, global stock, since last June, more than $15 trillion of global stock market wealth has been wiped out. So the financial crisis that began in the second half of 2015 has now accelerated, total loss of $15 trillion. And just last Wednesday on CNBC and on financial news websites all over the world, the headlines declared and told us that global stocks had officially entered bear market territory for the very first time since the last financial crisis. And for those that don't know, for global stocks to be in bear market, that's a decline of 20% is kind of the barrier, the boundary. So global stocks, as of last Wednesday, had declined a total of about 20%, or one-fifth. So one-fifth of all global stock market wealth is already gone. We've only got four-fifths left. That's all we have remaining, you know. And so, you know, and yet there's still people out there that are saying, oh, everything's going to be just fine. But if you went up to Warren Buffett and you told Warren Buffett, hey, nothing happened, everything's just fine, nothing happened in 2015, well, Warren Buffett lost a total of $11 billion so far during this downturn. So if you went up to Warren Buffett and started saying that to him, I don't know, you might get punched in the face. I don't know, because...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And let me bring this up, and I don't know how it really fits in but you know, I watched number one, my son lose his job because of the oil market and, you know, the oil, you know, dropping so dramatically low that, you know, there's oil people out of work all over this country. And, you know, while the consumer says, oh, it's good, you know. And, you know, I, for one, make that 60-mile trip one way to Wichita to the Mission Church. I'd rather put in gas at the price that I'm putting in now, but the people that are pulling that gas up, a lot of people lost jobs, and so it really economically hurt them and a lot of states that base their income, their new income, off that market. Back to you.
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Dan. Like you, I like to go to the gas station and fill up my gas tank with, you know, a cheap gasoline. But the truth is, it's been very, very bad for our economy. You know, in fact, since the beginning of 2015, since the beginning of last year, 42 North American oil companies have filed for bankruptcy, and 130,000 good-paying energy jobs have been lost in the United States just since the start of last year. Now, and that's a big problem, because since the last recession, the primary engine for the growth of good jobs in this country was the energy industry. Now that's totally reversing. People are losing jobs like crazy. A lot of these companies are going under. Their debt is going bad, which is being held by these financial institutions on Wall Street, creating huge problems. And so this is a big problem financially. Now, this is something we saw, if people remember, back in 2008, the price of oil. Before the stock market crashed back in 2008, the price of oil went up to about $140 a barrel. Then it crashed all the way below $40 a barrel. And that happened before the great stock market crash, which happened in the fall of that year. Now, we've never seen anything like that happen before or since until now. Over the last 18 months, the price of oil has gone from $108 a barrel all the way down to $30 a barrel. Last week, it dipped under for a while. Now it's, you know, come back a little bit above $30 a barrel, but we've seen this tremendous crash in the price of oil, just like we did last time. Another thing that we saw right before the 2008 crash, we saw the price of commodities. I'm talking about iron ore, aluminum, tin, lead, copper especially. All those prices crashed really hard before the stock market crashed in 2008. That's happening again right now. And with all these energy companies, these mining companies having problems, that's creating huge problems in junk bonds, which is another parallel. Pastor Dan, in 2008, right before the stocks crashed, we saw junk bonds crash hard before. Now that's right. happened again. In fact, there's an ETF that I watch very, very closely. It's known as JNK. And if you look at the 10-year chart of it, it crashed really hard before stocks did in 2008, but then it rebounded. And since the last crisis until now, it's traded in a range of about 36 to 42 all that time. And I knew if it ever crossed below 35 and kept going, that was going to be a signal, a confirmation that a new financial crisis had begun. And that happened for the very first time in December. It crossed below 35, then it went below 34, then it went below 33 now, and that's a huge confirmation, another one of these parallels telling us that a new financial crisis has begun. So we're seeing all these crashes, Pastor Dan, just like we did last time before everything fell apart, and yet a lot of people are still trying to deny that anything is happening.
Yeah, that's the deal. People, and that really upset me. In fact, you know, I stopped doing something with one ministry because they published a DVD saying some really bad things about John McCain. And so, you know, and they were whatever. But the point is people don't pay, you know, they're not paying attention. It's going to catch them completely unaware, but yet it's crashing all around them. And I guess that's just like what the Bible prophecy said. Yeshua said, they just keep on eating and drinking and taking and marriage. It ain't going to matter. They're just going to keep on going. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're just keeping on and keeping on and keeping on. Well, why don't you tell us where your blog is? Because we're going to have to go to break in about a minute. But also, you might point out to them, you've got more than one blog. You got about a minute.
Yeah, I do. What I'm most known for is the economiccollapseblog.com. If you just go to Google and type in the economic collapse, that's the first result that comes up. I also have a website, endoftheamericandream.com, where I write about a broader variety of issues. And then I have a site that a lot of people aren't aware of. It's called themostimportantnews.com, where all of my articles are gathered in one place, along with guest articles, along with some other news from around the world that's going on. So that's at themostimportantnews.com. And if people want to find my books, they can just look up my name on Amazon.com, and they're available in Kindle format and in paperback.
Yeah, absolutely. And the DVDs, you can get them off your website, right?
Yeah.
They're still available?
They're linked to those. Yeah, they're linked to those on my websites as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, folks, we're going to talk some more about him. We're going to ask, when he comes back, we'll ask him about the Federal Reserve. They got a part to play in this. But we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, it's the end of the month, and I don't know about, like a lot of you folks out there, you're getting your bills in, and, you know, there's no money left, and, well, that's the way it is with the ministry, because everybody that's give this month is just about give this month, and my wife informs me that, you know, she's got between $500 and $1,000 worth of bills that she was trying to figure out how to cover today before the first of the month that needs to be paid. This usually happens. Now, December is always a low month because of the holidays, you know, that everybody takes. No, I'm not complaining about where people spend their money. But it's always the slowest month of the year. It takes till when people start getting their income tax check back next month for us to pull out of this, because we do have some people that donate. When they get their income tax check, they send us a good donation, and that helps us start the year off. But until those start coming next month, we're really in need. So pray about it. And it is radio that does indeed pay this. A long time ago when we first started, back 10 years ago when Michael said he was first listening to us, and actually we've been on radio in one form or another since 2001, but we've been with ABR since 2004. But it used to be supported mostly by a mail-out newsletter that we did, but things have switched. And people aren't, doing paper. They hardly, but we only do the mail-out newsletter like four times a year now. And so, it doesn't bring in a lot of cash. Well, I don't care that it doesn't bring in cash, because the letter is about warning people, just like this program is about warning you to the times that we're in, and also shedding some light on what we do at the Wichita Mission Church. But anyway, it's folks like you that listen to radio that support us. So if you can help us, this is a way that you can help us. If you help us with radio, it helps us with the mission church. So we need your help to support airtime. And prayerfully, that you will share this program with other people. That's a good way to do it, because the more people that listen, the more that might donate it. And as you can tell, I'm just kind of ad-libbing. I'm not reading anything. But consider, though, that we do need, because we've got to get into video, and I was just talking it over with my producer, but some of the things we need, I'm going to need a new screen, a camera, another computer, and I think I need a new board. But those are some of the things that if you want to donate, that we could use them for this ministry, for the radio ministry. And remember, radio is what pays for the people. And so why do people, so many people come to us? Well, they come to us because we don't have any set guidelines. They just walk in the door and they ask for what they need, and we pray it in. That's how it works. We don't have set guidelines like, here, fill out this piece of paper, and if you fill it out correctly, then we'll help you. Or here, sign your name. We need to know who you are. It doesn't work that way. People just walk in, and if they have a need, they ask for it. And there's some things like the clothes closet they can use, or first aid they can ask for. It goes on and on. Food, phone, so on and so forth. So pray about it. We are responsible to care one for another. And the Father notices every donation that comes from where? Your heart. Remember, all donations, no matter what size, helps. Anyway, we're now back with Michael Snyder, and we're talking about the Shemitah, and we're also fixing to ask him about, well, what part does the Federal Reserve play in all this, Michael?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, the Federal Reserve plays a huge role, because they created this huge bubble, and now their actions are bursting it, and kind of setting the stage of where we're at. We're seeing the economy slow down. We're seeing people lay off workers. We just saw Walmart announce that they're shutting down 269 stores. I believe 154 of them are in the United States. The dry index, it just hit another all-time record low today. And the Baltic Dry Index, if your listeners aren't aware, it gives us a real good idea what's going on with global trade. Well, it's already lower than it was at any point during the last great crisis of 2008 or 2009. On January 13th, it went below 400 for the first time ever, and today it's down to 325. We're seeing global trade absolutely collapsed. In fact, there was an article just in Bloomberg that told us that it's now cheaper to rent a 1,000-foot merchant vessel than it is to rent a Ferrari, which is absolutely insane. And so, this is kind of the environment that we're in. And now the Federal Reserve, what we have seen over the last number of years, they pushed interest rates all the way to the bottom. And then they did all this quantitative easing, where they injected all of this money into the financial system. And so much of it went into stocks, and it inflated stock prices. And so stock prices, even though they've fallen, they're still at least 30 to 40% above what the kind of long-term historical averages say they should be based on price earnings ratios, the Buffett indicator, whole bunch of whatever kind of indicators you want to look at. Stock prices are really 30 to 40% above where they should be, you know, if there wasn't a bubble, if the stock prices actually made sense from a historical basis. But the reason the stock prices got so high was because of all this money the Federal Reserve pumped in to the financial markets. Now, the only way the party was going to continue, the only way stock prices could stay where they were, is if the Federal Reserve kept interest rates super low, or kept pumping in more money. But instead, now the Federal Reserve has started to withdraw the artificial support. They stopped quantitative easing near the end of 2015, and then they raised rates just a little bit, and now they're saying they're going to do more rate hikes as this year goes along. And so what's that doing? That's completely taking away the artificial support, and then it was not only supporting U.S. stocks, but stock markets all over the world. So stock markets all over the world now have started crashing. And you know, the rest and the whole financial world kind of hangs on every word from the Federal Reserve, hoping that they'll get some hint that, you know, maybe the Federal Reserve will change their mind and won't raise rates, or that they'll do some more quantitative easing. And so, you know, they're always looking for a hint that they're going to get kind of some of that monetary heroin going again. Right. But really, and see, what happened is the coming crash is going to be far worse than it would have been, because the stock prices are artificially high. So if the Federal Reserve had never pumped up these stock prices, well, okay, maybe we would have had a crash, but the crash would have come from lower levels, and the crash wouldn't have been severe. But now they pumped up this giant bubble. They've taken away the artificial support. The crash is going to be tremendous, and that's going to create tremendous fear, tremendous panic, tremendous losses in our financial institutions. We'll see banks, financial institutions go under because they were leveraged so much and had risked so much. And so the crash is going to be much worse than it should have been. The fear and panic will be much worse. And the catastrophe, the financial catastrophe we're heading toward, is going to be far worse than it should have been because of the actions of the Federal Reserve.
Right. Well, you know, looking out over everything, you know, beyond the economy, but looking into, like, the general attitude of things that's going on, you know, I don't remember in my lifetime, now I remember back in the 60s, I remember there was even martial law that we had to be in before dark, you know, my mom saying, hey, we got to get out of this restaurant quick because we got to get home before dark because of the riots. But other than, I mean, you look out across the country, and I have never seen the country in such, I guess, division as it's in, and hatred out there. You put something up there that Americans really, really hate the government. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, we've got the polls and surveys that are showing the American people are more disgusted with the government than ever before. You know, an average of recent surveys calculated by Real Clear Politics has found that 63% of all Americans believe the country is heading in the wrong direction, and only 28% of Americans believe the country is headed in the right direction. So people are angry, they're upset, they don't like the government, and yet there's no agreement about where to go because there's no common set of principles or values that unites us all, you know? There's, you know, a minority of people that say, hey, we should get back to the Constitution. You know, people like me, people like you, Pastor Dan, that say, hey, we should do things the way our founding fathers intended. And yet there are others that say, no, Bernie Sanders is the answer. We need full-blown socialism in this country. Others say, no, Hillary Clinton, you know. And people, you know, if you ask 100 different Americans, you know, what we should do to fix this country, you might get 100 different answers because, you know, people – you know, that there's no common set of values that unites us. So everyone's right. Kind of doing their own thing and has their own opinion about what should be done. But unfortunately, very, very few people believe that we should turn back to God, repent, and do things His way. In fact, instead, we're racing the other direction. And so something else about the Schmidt year, I believe that it wasn't just economic and financial, Pastor Dan. But from my perspective, you know, I believe that there was something deeper going on. In the legal world where I'm from, before a sentence is administered or before judgment comes, there's always a pronouncement of guilt. And I believe in 2015, leading up to the end of the Shemitah year, America was guilt in a multitude of ways. One way was, of course, we saw the gay marriage Supreme Court decision, and America cheered. The White House was lit up with rainbow colors. You know, we saw the whole Ashley Madison scandal, where millions of American men were going to this website specifically designed for adultery. And, you know, many Christian pastors and leaders ended up being on that list. But then most of all, we saw the undercover Planned Parenthood videos come out. Now, these videos, you know, they showed that, you know, we're killing millions of babies, that we're harvesting their body parts and organs, selling them off to the highest bidder, where they're used in these scientific, bizarre scientific experiments. Now, the American people saw all this video after video, and after, you know, all, so many of these videos had come out, a survey was taken. They asked the American people, okay, should we continue funding Planned Parenthood? Should we continue giving them hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars a year? And the results came back, and it was 65% of all Americans said, yes, let's keep giving them all this money from the government every year to keep doing what they're doing. And only 29% of Americans said, no, let's cut off the funding. So by a more than 2-to-1 margin, the American people said, yes, we approve. We approve of what Planned Parenthood is doing.
Right.
So we saw all this, and it was kind of like God was giving us one last chance to repent, but instead we said, no, we're going to keep doing things our way.
Right.
And since the Shemitah year ended, Pastor Dan, since the end of the Shemitah year, we've seen kind of an unprecedented series of disasters hit this country, and not a lot of people are connecting the dots, but if we have a couple minutes here, I'd kind of like to do that.
Go right ahead. I'm listening very intently. Go ahead.
Okay, one thing we saw was 2015 has started out, and it was kind of a bad year for wildfires, but not particularly. But then we got to the end of the Shemitah year, August and September, and boom, just wildfires started exploding all over the country. Boom, 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 boom. In fact, if you go to the White House website, the official website for the White House, you'll see disaster declarations for fires, particularly in the western third of the country. It was going crazy in August and September. And by the end of the year, by the end of 2015, it was the worst year for wildfires in all of U.S. history. More acres burned in America in 2015 than ever before, you know?
Wow.
And then we also saw flooding, you know, right? You know, we got to the end of the Shemitah year, and then the series of floods. The first thing we saw hurricane come along, scale kind of up the east coast of the United States that never made landfall. But moisture of the storm was so intense, especially in South Carolina, where the governor of South Carolina said it was the worst rain in her state had seen in 1,000 years, caused record-breaking flooding in South Carolina, other areas of the East Coast, tremendous flooding there. Then it went out to the West Coast, where, you know, they had had so much drought, but then flash flooding came in. And this flash flooding caused just landslides. Rivers of mud were literally covering highways and freeways out there in Southern California. In fact, they pulled the lifeless body of one man out of his vehicle several days later. It took them not that long to get to him because his vehicle was completely buried in feet of mud. And just this horrible situation caused by flooding there in Southern California. Then in Texas, shortly after that, the remnants of Hurricane Patricia came up through Texas. Tremendous flooding there. The flooding got so bad it actually knocked the train entirely off the tracks. And in fact, Texas has been hit by flood after flood, causing tremendous a series of deaths out there. Then back out to the West Coast, we had this El Nino form, sending kind of this conveyor belt of storms, one after the other, barreling into the West Coast, particularly the Northwest. And so in December, we actually witnessed the wettest day in the history of Portland, Oregon, we've ever seen. I had a reader out there who emailed me and said, Michael, please pray for us. The flooding is terrible here in Portland, Oregon. We really need some help. Then shortly after that, the end of December, what do we see in the middle part of the country? You know, in Missouri and the surrounding areas, just absolutely horrific flooding. And it's very, very unusual because they never see, I mean, if they're going to see flooding, it's going to be in the spring when the snow and everything is thawing, and that's when they get flooding, not in December. But pretty much the only thing they can compare it to, this flood in December, was the great flood of 1993, the greatest flood of all time that's ever been recorded. But that's, in fact, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon said that the floodwaters got to places they've never been before, not even during 1993 in some areas. And so it was just tremendous. And, you know, and that was shortly thereafter, I went down to that's when I went down to the Jim Baker show, and then just they told me about all the flooding that's been going on down there. It's just a horrible crisis right in the middle part of the country. And then, Pastor Dan, just in the, you know, last weekend, what did we see? We saw this giant storm, and it was given a name. The winter storm was called Jonas, which is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Jonah. Of course, Jonah was the biblical prophet that went to Nineveh about to warn them that the judgment of God was coming. Now, this storm, named after that biblical prophet, hit Washington, D.C. on the exact anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So what are the odds of this great storm hitting the exact place where Roe versus Wade was decided, on the exact anniversary that Roe versus Wade was decided on, and it was named after a biblical prophet that was specifically designed to go and warn that the judgment of God was about to come?
Wow. Well, you know, Americans have got, there's so many Americans, we talked earlier in our other program about how false pastors were bilking people for millions of dollars, you know, thousands and millions of dollars. Like one preacher that went to South Africa had, you know, told everybody if they come up within the next 2 minutes, and each one that gave $1,000 out of that, those people, 500 of them would instantly become millionaires. And but that goes on and on. And I don't want to say the TV preacher's name, but by listening to these TV evangelists, that the people, so much of America has just, they're blunt to the warnings because the pastors aren't telling them. You know, now I know that isn't 100%. I know there's some wonderful churches, especially the further out or the smaller towns that you get into. You find some really good down-home preachers that are preaching warnings and things. But on the same hand, you know, most of the body of Messiah in the Western world is just not listening. And so these disasters, are happening one after another, and none of them, except for people like you and others on radio, are pointing to them as being the hand of our Father. And that's why I think he brings judgment to Babylon. Back to you.
Oh, it's very true, Pastor Dan. And in fact, on a lot of these television ministries, they specifically will not never use the word sin, because they don't want to offend anyone. So, but you know, if you listen closely, you'll never hear that word. And in fact, if you go on some of these programs, they'll make you sign something in which you'll say you're not going to talk about abortion, you're not going to talk about homosexuality, you're not going to criticize Obama. Now, fortunately, there's a few, like the Jim Baker show, where you can still talk about all these things, and that's why I go down there, because they let me talk about all these things on the show, and they don't edit me out, which, you know, I'm very thankful for. But you're right, Pastor Dan. We've got all these prosperity preachers who are tickling people's ears, and what do we see, around the turn of the year? You know, so many of them were proclaiming, oh, it's the year of the quadruple portion. You know, mantles are going to be falling from heaven. You know, send me $1,000 and you'll get your miracle. You know, the same things we hear year after year after year, and yet people aren't sounding the alarm. They're not warning. But to me, the series of judgments, you know, in Oklahoma last year, they shattered their yearly record for earthquakes. That's another thing. There's so many of them, which I go over on my website. But what I'm seeing, Pastor Dan, is in the scriptures, we often see a progression of judgment. For example, if you look at the book of Exodus, it started with life and it ended up with all the firstborn being dead. Or in the book of Revelation, it starts with the four horsemen riding, and by the end, it's death and destruction on a scale we've never seen before. So in my opinion, I'm asking the question, are we starting to see that progression of judgment? We've seen unprecedented fires, unprecedented floods, but it's really not getting people's attention yet. And of course, you know, no one's repenting. There's no repentance.
Yeah.
So, but God brings a progression, because each wave of shaking is meant to turn people to him. It's meant to have people repent. It's meant to get people's attention and say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Turn back to me. And
right.
So, my fear is that if people don't pay attention and don't listen and the preachers of America aren't even proclaiming and pointing these things out, well, the judgments and the shakings are going to get a lot worse as we move forward.
Right, absolutely. And they should be, and, you know, the body of Messiah should be looking towards Israel and towards what's going on there. And, you know, you had China move in with Russia, and they moved down into the Middle East. That should be a big warning, not trying to say who's Gog or Magog, but, you know, you got to sit up and take notice when those kind of things happen. Iran getting the bomb, that whole part of the world is in utmost turmoil. Europe, the European Union is about to collapse because they have open borders, and now all these immigrants, as they call them, are rushing in and raping women and mishandling women and robbing and stealing, and it's just, and people don't get it. I keep telling them, the world's in turmoil. Wake up. Back to you. We've got about 2 minutes.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's kind of this perfect storm that John Paul Jackson warned about. It's coming together, and yet people are not getting prepared. So many Christians are not getting prepared because they're told by these prosperity preachers everything's going to be wonderful, and then when things start to get bad, you know, before anything really bad happens, you're going to get raptured out of here. You're going to get pulled out of here. Well, that's not going to happen. That's why I'm writing this new book. People need to understand that we're moving into the hardest times that America has ever seen. We're moving into the last days, and we're not going to get pulled out of here. We're going to go through them. So there's a warning, but there's also good news that God is moving. He's working. He's raising up a remnant. The greatest move of God in the history of the world is coming, and we're going to see the greatest harvest of souls between right now and the return of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So there is bad news, but there's also good news. It's going to be an awesome time to be alive. It's going to be the finest hour of the church. And so that's a big part of my message, too, Pastor Dan. I so much appreciate you having me on today to help share this message. And I hope people get excited for what's coming because God is moving.
Yeah, amen. And that is the point. While it might sound like doom and gloom and doom, folks, it's not gloom and doom. It's the announcement that our Savior is coming and we're going to be with him forever. Well, I guess that train coming is telling me I got to get out of here. You know, my producer says, is that Johnny Cash coming, you know? But anyway, thanks for being on with me. And when you get that book done, let me know. And we'll definitely do a program about that book. And I can't wait to read it.
Absolutely, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you be blessed, brother. Thanks for being on with me. Goodbye and shalom to you. Well, folks, that was Michael Steiner, the economic collapse bog. And, you know, you go over and check him out. But, you know, the biggest thing that you can do is have a relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach. You've got to have that relationship. Yes, the word says that whoever calls out to him, calls out to the Lord Yeshua, the same shall be saved. But do you really want to wait until you're into the midst of all this stuff? Because it doesn't say that while he says he'll save you, he didn't talking about a physical saving. He's talking about saving you for the next life. But in order to be protected, you need to be hearing from him. You know, you need to be, and your responsibility, you head to the household, you need to be making sure that you have a couple of years worth of food stocked up and enough for not only your family, but others that might show up at your door. That's absolute. And I quit. I started to sell food for Wise Food, but I quit that because I didn't feel that I could warn you and make money off of warning you. So I quit that. So money that would have come into the ministry for by selling Wise Food and getting a percent of it, I quit because I didn't want to have any kind of guilt. I wanted to be clean when I told you, you need to stock up. And the best way to stock up is going to the store and getting what you need and stocking it up. You need to have emergency bags, things like that. But you need to get ready. You are responsible to help your families. And if you're in a church group or whatever, your church group needs to be prepared. And if you're and I pray that you would, if you have anything left over, that you would pray about sending some money here to support this ministry, because we really need your help. I got to get out of here. You must remember there's only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights into the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.